The question is this. When you meet a New Ager and they talk about commitment to a principle or a holy man or someone as more important than your home and your family and your children, what would you say? How would you minister to them? How would you talk about Christ? How would you minister to a person who has no use for a family, who says that right and wrong are two shades of one effect? You can lie to your wife or your husband, that's okay. Because if the husband lies to his wife, that's just the dark side of the force. Do you see? You have to take everything the Bible says when you talk to a New Ager and turn it upside down to think the way they think. So you can't start quoting what they reject. You have to try to reach them in other ways and leading them to the Word. Do you all have a copy of this?
No.
Who doesn't?
I didn't have enough.
Didn't have enough? Anybody with couples who can share one? Any people who have extras who have couples? Anybody? Okay, let's break in our groups. See what we can do. Yeah, we stay here. We only have 15 minutes for this. The first question. What do you say to people who say there is no right and there is no wrong? I'm sure you've met them. In fact, when we get disgusted, even Christians can get off an attack like that. But what do you say to people who say there is no right, there is no wrong? You do what you have to decide is right in a family. There's no ultimate standard of values. You're going to meet people like this. You've met them all the time. So what do you say? What?
I said, how do you deal with someone who has no values?
Well, what can't you do? You can't start quoting Bible verses. Why not?
Bible. They don't believe in Christianity. They don't believe in God.
Father, I had a problem in my family. My brothers have been in Scientology, one of them for 18 years, and the other one got out of it and then went back into it.
Psychology?
No.
Scientology.
So I don't know what to say sometimes to my brother. I mean, he doesn't believe in the resurrection of the body. He doesn't believe in a lot of this stuff that you're
Okay, so you find you have people who reject everything the Scripture says, right? More and more you're going to get this as New Age starts permeating. Well, it is in the school system. We'll be getting to that eventually, too. And in also psychotherapeutic analysis and Freudian transactional analysis, Carl Gustav Jung, who's a great occultist, who his book, Seven Sermons to the Dead, it was practiced in demonology and all this kind of stuff. He and Sigmund Freud had quite a time together, those two. Freud was an atheistic materialist. Jung was an occultist in the dabbling in the black arts. But somebody doesn't believe in the Bible. How do you minister to them? What is ineffective? Come on. I'm sure you've found this in your own life. New Age. All are God. Okay? That's number one in the back of their mind. They're God. Do anything they what? First commandment breaks. Second, no. Ten commandments? Who said that? Oh. No moral values. So what gets thrown out? Ten commandments. How are you going to talk? Now, no moral values. So what's right or what's wrong for these people? It depends. So how do you, and you know, this is not just New Ages. Sometimes when Christians get discouraged or we get unhappy or we feel betrayed or forsaken or let down, we can get right into this scene. I mean, there are times I think when all of us have been close to this in our worst moments. What ought you not to do if you're trying to talk to a person like this? What not to do? Don't preach. What does that mean? Don't quote scripture. Oh, it would be great to do it, but what? Quote scripture. It's great to quote scripture to a man or a woman who's fallen away from the church and says, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but the Holy Spirit is sealed in him or her, and they really are God's child. And sometimes we do this to frustrate one another, but deep down there's the Holy Scripture. You can tell if that person is a child of God because you throw out some scriptures and they'll say, well, how about this or how about that? And then they're asking and they want to find out more. So then you're talking with a child of God. But here you're talking with a child of Lucifer. See? So you've got to start someplace else. How do you reach them? You're getting close. In other words, what? You gotta love them. Because this is the delusion with him. The Maharishi Yogi, does he love them? No. Remember they said he has nothing to give. They find just emptiness. He doesn't hardly talk. He just sits there. I mean, this is great. I mean, you go to these places and he just sits. Can you imagine? Some of you may like this. No sermons. You just go, and instead of a pulpit, you got a chair up there, and he just kind of sits. And everyone worships. Joni. Yes. Drugs, and that's why the yogis have been found to be in the drug scene. Millions and billions of dollars in drugs. But why? What do you call drugs? Yeah. Fa? Ma? That's English. This is P-H-A-R... M-A-C-Y. Pharmacy. Pharmacia, the ancient Greek word in the New Testament, is the word we get pharmacy from. People who use drugs to get themselves nearer to the force and origin of all life. God says never do that, because when you lose control of your mind, when you, like, why hypnosis is so terrible? Why is hypnosis so terrible? What do you do in hypnosis? You give up your personality. No matter how miserable we may feel at times, it's still our personality. We can be happy with it, we can be terrible with it. But when you undergo hypnosis, you self-abnegate. You give up your selfhood and allow the power of auto-suggestion to come, not from your conscience, but from another person. And to do that, you have to totally surrender your consciousness, and when you let the protective gates of your spirit down, you're saying, come in, anybody, and that's just what happens. Somebody comes in. Now, you mentioned, why are the yogis into drugs in New Age? Why are we getting a drug culture now? The Beatles were strongly in with New Age. They loved the yogis. They wrote songs about drug experiences. And we have all of this in the 60s. There's so many of the songs. Some of you may remember them. That's not really my generation, so I don't know too many of the songs. But in one of the things we'll have here, we'll have the songs of the Beatles, praising drugs and praising the drug trip and all this kind of stuff. Is it any wonder all we see being arrested are black kids in the ghetto? But they're small potatoes with drugs. The big drugs are the white drug lords who are getting all these drugs for a lot of wealthy suburban people. These are the guys who should be getting arrested, because these are the people who are paying for the drugs and, you know, and funneling and making these all these things possible. It's not what's going on in the ghetto. It's what's going on throughout the whole nation, and it's basically began in the 60s with the New Age movement. Okay? So love has to be the way. What kind of love? Agape love. Extending it even when you don't get it back. Is that possible in a natural person? No. You need God's grace. We have in the Episcopal Church what we call the daily office. And in evening prayer, we're reading, and we'll stop on this, the book of Job. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the book of Job, but everything goes right with this man. And then all of a sudden, the devil accuses him and says, look at this guy. He's good for nothing. The only reason why he loves you, Lord, is because you've made him rich. So God says to the devil, okay, I give you permission to go down and don't hurt Job, but take away everything that he has. So the devil says, thank you. He goes down. He kills his children. His children die. His property is lost. His wealth is confiscated. His home is hit by lightning. Everything he has is gone. Then he says, you know, I have nothing. And so the devil comes up, and God says, see how good he is? And the devil says, that's only because you let me take the things he has. But now let me go down and take away his what? His health. And then things start getting a little different with Job. And Job goes into the complaints of how terrible he feels, how awful God is, and here we come with his friends. Here we come with love. Job had three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. These three guys, they see him, and he's sitting on the top of the heap of ashes, and his body is covered with cancers and lesions, and he gets a piece of a broken pot, and as the cancerous welts come up, he scrapes them off and drops it, and he picks up another shirt of a pot, and he just sits there, and he's a mess, and he's groaning. And they're so shocked at the way they see him, these three friends come, and they put their arms around him, and they just hold him for 7 days, and you know what they said? Not a single thing. And it was great. They were really comforted. But once they started opening their mouth, the first one said, well, the reason why all these things happen to you is because you're such a rat fink. In Walid, you were really rotten. People outside thought you were good, but God knew you were a skunk, and that's why you're getting it all now. This is the first friend. The second friend said, you were really double-dealing all your life. And while it began to come out that you were double-dealing, you tried to hide it. And then the third one said, you were really dealing with evil spirits. One came up at night and rose and said, God doesn't really care for people who are evil spirits. And Job kept saying, no, I've led a good life. I've led an honest life. And all I need now is not words, but what? Love, compassion. I think this is the only way we can begin to deal with New Age folk, especially as we go through the preceding weeks. We're going to see how it works in the schools. We'll deal more and more with this in the scriptures and how it happens in colleges, in medicine. Very strong in our big teaching hospitals now, New Age. We're practicing visualization, self-hypnosis, biofeedback. Some of the people are actually getting insane. You'll see this on here. They're practicing by doctors, and they give them drugs and have them auto-suggestion. And this is in one of our big central hospitals. I can't think of the name right now. The Mayo Clinic, where they ask, they call Eastern Masters to come into your spirit. This is medicine. This is shamanism. All this type of thing in the New Age. So please, when you get back home, look through the summary of what we're dealing now with, and we'll talk about more of it in the scriptures. Okay, let's get everybody to... Okay! What? Yeah. TM is called Transcendental Meditation. You sit down, you close your mind, and you say what are called mantras. Mantras are the prayers of a Hebrew deity. You chant, 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 chant. What did I say? Hebrew. Hindu. Hindu. And you keep chanting, and the Hindu god comes within you, whatever demon it happens to be. And then he comes and becomes your spirit guide in transcendental meditation, where you finally have what's called an altered state of consciousness. So the spirit of light and love, which is Lucifer, finally comes in you, and you see the true values, where right is wrong, and wrong is right, and black is white, and white is black, and bitter is sweet, and sweet is bitter. This is also being taught in the schools now to the kids, in subtle ways, like the new book they have on the family. In Illinois, maybe you heard about it. The parent blew his stack. His child came home, 8 years old, and it says, this is a family. This is daddy, and this is daddy's lover. And it shows daddy and his man lover in bed together. You know, all this kind of stuff. This is in the schools. See, now what's happening is they're teaching a immorality, yet a morality into the schools. Do you see? This is wild. This also we'll be getting into in each session. Again, if you have this course, you see, next week we'll be talking about the ashrams, so that you'll know what an ashram is, because you're going to start hearing this in the schools now, too. And the tantras, the mantras are prayers, the tantras are certain sexual fantasies that you ought to project, and yoga is the key to all of this. Yoga is a missionary, so disguises itself as physical exercise. But you cannot have, all yoga is a prayer to Brahma. Ever heard of Brahma? Is one of the Hindu gods who's shown with a hair, all his hair locks are snakes. Snakes coming around. And the New Age believes, all American New Ages, that at the base of your spine is the Kundalini spirit of the beautiful god of light and love, the great serpent, Kundalini. Kundalini sits at your spine. What you have to do is give the great serpent power to your life. So when you go through the motions like this, you believe to come through, and you say various mantras and prayers to the different demons or Hindu gods to come in and fill your spirit. See? We'll get into this. And people think they're doing exercises. One guru laughed and said, you can't have yoga without religion. Okay. Plenary session. Everybody back. We really didn't have room. We were supposed to get into a group and to you. It was supposed to be for the chatter. But no way can I fit you all in. Could I ask the people in the two back rows to stand up, please? People in the back rows to stand up. Stand up. I can only... Kathy, could you stand up and go in the row behind you? And Paul and your wife, both of you together, just get moving this way, and that move in a little this way. This is 400 speed film on a flash, and I don't know if it's going to come out. Gary, do you have to be still for something like this? Do you have to be still for something like this? Flash? Could we hear from Father Welsh about his group, what you came up with?
we talked about, since it wasn't my group, and I just happened to preach a sermon the other day on radical discipleship, and talking about having God first in our lives. How is that different from what they were preaching? Because it sounds a little bit similar. We're saying God is first in our lives above our family and our friends and our children and all that. And they're saying, their God, their guru is first in their life. How is that different? And the people talked about that, and they said there is a difference because with the Hindus, they disregard their families. They disregard their wives and children for this God. But that our God doesn't just disregard. He wants first priority, but he also cares about families and relationships. That's part of his plan. So we saw a distinction in that regard. That's one of the things we talked about.
That's a very good point about God, their God, and our God. What does the God of New Age want for you? I mean, what is your nature to... Is this on?
No.
Oh, I pulled the plug out. Testing? Yeah. What does the God of the New Age want you to become? And right behind this desire, you can see the devil. What does Christ Jesus expect of you to become? The trumpet shall sound. Jesus Christ comes back. The dead shall be what?
Raised.
You will be raised. How? Just as your personality is now only totally perfected, everything that God meant for you to be, you will be, you will survive as an individual. You notice on this how this ended. The last thing that is wanted in Hinduism of you is for you to be a what? Individual. So what happens? When you die, you get reincarnated and reincarnated, either getting worse or better. It's a terrible, terrible punishment, and yoga is used to effect to try and get away from reincarnation. That's what it's one of the escapes from reincarnation. But finally, when you get the highest you can come, you go to nirvana, and you become what? Nothing! You become absorbed as a little drop into the infinite cosmos of divine nothingness. In other words, obliteration, which is just what Lucifer wants for each and every one of you. As this first series began, look what Hinduism did for India. It has the richest landmass. It has a fifth of all the world's cattle. The average lifespan is 23 years old. The average income in a year is $35 a year. The people are desperate. And Hinduism has just broken the country. I don't know what we talk about, our difficulties in America, but the greatest curse on humanity is the caste system in India, where if you're in a certain caste, and it's about 600 million Indians, about almost the population of America are people who are untouchables. You cannot touch them. They are born, they live, they die in the street, they propagate in the street, they relieve themselves in the street. They die about 20, 23 years of age. The body cart comes in at 5 in the morning and picks up untouchables who die, and only untouchables will pick up an untouchable. Nobody helps anybody else. Why? Because they're just on their way to another reincarnation. Do you see? So hospitals were unknown until Christians came there. All of this has a background in the New Age movement. You will not be able to understand a 20th century American New Ager until you begin to understand Hinduism, because Hinduism and New Age are identical. There were 165 New Age Buddhist monks who were under the employ of Adolf Hitler, as some of you may know. They had the World at War, where they were interviewing Hitler's private secretary, met 30 years ago, and he talked about his influence with the New Age movement. The New Age, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky said, quote, "We had a disciple in the Saarland whose effort was to reunite all of Western Europe, but he failed." Now, who was the disciple in the Tsar Sudetenland who tried to reunite all of Western Europe in the 1940s? Adolf Hitler. The problem, as the New Ages see it, and we will end on this note, is that all the world's problems have to do with Christians and Jews. Christians and Jews have to be, the word they use is what Hitler used for the Jews, cleansed. Because we are not worthy to enter the courts of the gods of Shambalat or Shangri-La. Christians will not willingly submit to a Luciferic initiation and have mind control to understand the true nature of the god Lucifer. So we have to be cleansed. And we'll get into that as the weeks go on. Thank you, Father Welsh. Deacon Mollison.
Our group was just stellar in their comments. And unlike Father Welsh's group, we had no difficulty getting down to what the Bible considers absolutes. And we felt that we got closer to a process in answering the question, how do we meet these people? And taking into consideration that they are already well-versed and deeply immersed spiritually and emotionally into the New Age movement, to meet with them head-on at that level initially is not the way to go, but rather to meet them where they are. And where is Christ in all this? Christ is in us, let your light so shine that we become a model that they see in us Christ. To try to meet with them, talk with them, and little by little bring them along into the Christian way of thinking. But to meet them head on, it's like what I heard Father Amos say oftentimes, if you come at them with your bright lights on, what's the normal reaction? You blink and you turn away. So you have to be somewhat subtle and be very careful in meeting with them. But meet them where they're at, work with them, and Christ is in you, and let them see that Christ in you. Basically, this is what I hope I summarize what we said here tonight.
I think that was the answer to the question you had asked also about how can we minister to these people. Words aren't going to do it. You know, anybody can say words. I can't hear what you say. What you do speaks too loudly for many of the New Agers. So you really have to show them our love for our family, for our children, which is something a New Ager is not going to understand. And it has to be not in, as one man who had been to a Casilio movement, God love him, and he was so, I remember this years ago, he was so turned on to Jesus. Sweet Lord, he was so holy. There was light coming all out, you know. And he came downstairs, and he's still on the cloud after a weekend of this, and people walked out of the undercroft, and he, all the one man, and God, he says, let me tell you about Jesus. And I looked at him. And it was, his fervor was overwhelming, but it just was too much, too fast at once, all at once. You don't get a filet mignon, as beautiful as it is, and try to shove it down the mouth of a child. Things take time, bit by bit. Yes, Father Welsh.
One of the things that came up in our group was that we talked about some frustration when meeting New Age people or any other religious people of different religions. Sometimes we don't know what to say to them. You know, they come on real strong and they know their stuff. But there is some frustration felt among some of the people that we just don't know how to approach it. And so we talked a little bit about one thing was getting to know exactly what these people believe. We need to know what they believe, what they're thinking. We need to know their system. But the other thing we talked about was we need to know what Jesus has to say. And so we thought that this Bible study was a great place to learn, first of all, what these people are thinking, what they're saying, what their system is, but we can also find out what Jesus has to say about all this as well.
Deacon Moss?
Yeah.
He was eavesdropping on our group.
Please review this. When you do get home, it will review the whole thing. And in closing, next week we'll show you what an ashram is. New Agers talk a lot about ashrams. and the Samsara, what the Samsara is, the Kumbh Mela festival. When they talk about reincarnation, you have to be just as ready to talk about resurrection and be able to tell them why resurrection is better than reincarnation. The purpose and method, the Beatles in the 60s, and another look at the Maharishi Maharish Yogi and the Rajneeshpuram's ashram in Oregon. And after that, we'll talk more about scripture and then break up into another group. God bless you all and keep you. I hope by God's grace we see you next week.